Good morning, as people are trickling in, I'm going to invite you to sing with us, and we're going to practice some of the pieces from the Gray Hymnal, and we're also going to teach you the Spanish. So if you look in your order of service under Morning Sing, this is the Morning Sing, we're going to start with Unidos en el Misterio de la Hora, Unidos ya en un gran cuerpo, Unidos ya en la lucha triunfadora, Espíritu ven. So we'll sing that through a few times all together. And then we're going to switch to English. So if you want to grab your Gray Hymnal and open it to 389, have that ready to go. And we'll switch. You're welcome to keep singing Spanish if you like, or switch to English when we get there. So we're going to start with Unidos en el Misterio de la Hora. And that's the one that's in your order of service. The next one that we're going to practice some Spanish and then switch to English, if you open your hymnal to number 396 and be ready for I Know This Rose Will Open, but we're going to start with Sé que abrirá esta rosa, which is in your order of service, y sé que mi temor se irá, sus alas mi amor desplegará, Se que abrirá esta rosa. So we'll start in Spanish from your order of service. We'll kind of do the same thing. We'll sing that a few times through, and then we'll switch to the English in the hymnal, number 396. Thank you. All right, we have one more for you. Your part's really easy on this one. This is a song. If you look at the front of your order of service, you will see a beautiful design, and the word in the middle of it is love. Love. So this is a piece that was written for the Justice Choir songbook. It's called Love is Love is Love is Love. And you have a part that's kind of a combination of the Beatles and the Paco Bell Canon. And because we have Paco Bell Canon, we've got Andrea Lee back there on the cello playing our bass line for us. Thank you, Andrea. So your part goes like this. Love, love, love. All we need is love, love, love. All we need is love, love, love. All we need is love, love, love. All we need. And so forth. So that's going to be your part. And the choir will kind of come in and out of singing that with you, and then they've got some other parts that come in on top. But you will keep hearing that love, that Beatles plus Paco Bell part coming in and out. So that's your part. That's called the mantra of this particular round of love is love is love.
Thank you.
You were wonderful. I invite you to rise in body or spirit for the call to worship.
We are because our ancestors were. We are new, never been done before. We are the culmination of our dreams and theirs, and we are still in progress. We are perfect just the way we are, already holy from the moment we are born, and we could use a little work. Come just as you are. We are stardust and ruach, the breath of the divine, made for love and awe. So we gather in reverence with people across time and space, lighting candles shoulder to shoulder with all of the generations, with prayers that our lives might be a blessing on this world. Come, let us worship together.
And I invite you to grab your turquoise hymnal, open to 1051. I'm going to give you a little roadmap here. You just heard the chorus of the song we're going to sing. That's the first four measures at the beginning, and we're going to sing through that twice before we go on. So, for each child that's born, a morning star rises. That's the chorus. We'll sing through that little section twice, 1051. Then we're going to go into the verse. We are our grandmother's prayers and we are our grandfather's dreamings. We are the breath of our ancestors. We are the spirit of God. So at this point, you're going to start singing straight through, and that eventually leads into what's called the litany by Isaiah Barnwell, who wrote this. We are sisters of mercy and brothers of love. We are lovers of life and builders of nations. And then you're going to see at the end of that litany section on page 3, you're going to see another repeat sign. Don't take that one. Just go on to the end and we'll be back in the chorus and just sing the chorus until we finish, all right? That's your roadmap. It's tricky. So we'll get it. We are sisters of courage. We are.
And kudos to us for passing the first cognitive test of the service. Welcome to our worship service here at First Unitarian in Albuquerque. Whether you're new or you've been coming here for years, congratulations, you've made it. And I think double congratulations seeing the weather. We're glad you've joined us, whether from far or near. Please take a moment to look around the sanctuary and see if you can spot someone you know, or someone you'd like to know. Give them a smile or maybe even a wave, and hopefully you'll be able to chat with them at our social hour after the service in the nearby social hour. Oh, hi. People of all identities and intersectionalities are welcome here at First Unitarian. My name is John Eldridge, and my pronouns are he and him, and I'm a cisgender male. I will be your worship leader this morning. Feel free to ask me anything about the service or any of the announcements after the service. I'll be hanging around at the social hour. We welcome the return of spring a few days ago. In this volatile weather at this time of year, it's sometimes hard to believe that it's now actually spring. The signs are all around us, though. The longer days, the budding leaves, the occasional flower, the relaxing of the muscles in our head and our neck, the opening of hearts. We welcome the spring and all of its possibilities, and in that same spirit, I welcome you to our service this morning.
Today, I want to tell you a story about how we are all inextricably connected. It's called the grumpy gecko. What does that word inextricable mean? Well, I looked it up, and the definition said impossible to separate and unable to be released, separated, or escaped from. Those are all pretty negative sounding words, aren't they? But in fact, that word also describes the interdependent web of all existence of which we are all a part, our seventh principle. In a shady glade, the chief of the jungle slept until Tiger woke up with a snort. She opened one yellow eye. Gecko, she growled. What do you want? It's the middle of the night.
I've come to complain.
Well, what could Gecko, the lizard, have to complain about? He spent most of his time lazing around, just sleeping and eating. Even when he was hungry, all he had to do was flick out his sticky tongue and lick up a mosquito. What's troubling you? Tiger asked.
It's the fireflies, said Gecko. All night long, they fly around, flashing their lights in my eyes, keeping me awake, flashing and flickering, and I haven't slept for days. It's making me very grumpy. You're the chief of the jungle. Make them stop.
Well, Tiger stifled a gigantic yawn. We've all done that, right? I'll talk to the fireflies, she promised Gecko. Tiger sighed and went off to find the fireflies. So wading through the paddy fields, the wet, wet paddy fields, the night vibrated with the chirps and croaks of frogs and the trills of a million insects. And above the paddies, the fireflies flickered and flashed. Fireflies, Tiger called. Gecko says you have been disturbing his sleep, flashing and flickering all night long. Is this true?
Well, we do flash our lights all night, replied all the fireflies, but we don't want to disturb anyone. We're just passing on Woodpecker's message. We heard her drumming out a warning.
Oh, I see, said Tiger. Then I'll talk to Woodpecker. So at the edge of the paddies, Tiger found Woodpecker, loudly drumming against a coconut palm. Woodpecker, Tiger winced. The fireflies say you have been rapping and tapping, tapping and rapping, drumming out a warning. Is this true? Well, of course, said Woodpecker, puffing up her feathers. I provide a great service. Clearly, my efforts are not appreciated. She looked down her long beak at Tiger. Beetle rolls manure across the path. I warn the jungle animals so that no one steps in it. Without my drumming, who knows what a mess you'd all be in? Oh, said Tiger. Well, that is very helpful. Thank you. Tiger licked her nose thoughtfully. I'll go speak to Beetle. Well, it was easy to spot Beetle on the jungle path. In the moonlight, his back gleamed like polished metal. What's all this? Tiger asked. Woodpecker says you're rolling a filthy mess all over the place. Yes, yes, can't stop, Beetle replied, rolling a ball of dung right up to Tiger's paw. Water buffalo drops piles of it all over the path, and if I don't move some away, there will be muck everywhere. Excuse me. Tiger lifted her paw, and Beetle bustled past. Okay, said Tiger. Thank you, Beetle. I'll go and see Buffalo. Tiger found Buffalo asleep in a pool of mud. Buffalo, Tiger roared. Beetle says you have been leaving your manure all over the path. Is this true? Oh, yes, Chief, said Buffalo, lowering his head. I leave manure all over the path, Chief. But you see, ma'am, it is helpful. Rain washes holes in the path. Every afternoon, I leave manure only to fill up the holes so that no one trips or falls. If I didn't, ma'am, someone could get hurt. I see, said Tiger. Well, that's very thoughtful of you, Buffalo. Tiger's tail twitched. She was beginning to run out of patience. She sighed again. I'll go ahead and hear what Rain has to say. So Tiger set out for Mount Agung, the highest peak on the island, and home of the Rain. Tiger climbed and she climbed and she climbed. She climbed through jungle, woodland, and then scrub. And then she climbed some more. At last, her paws touched the smooth grass of the mountain peak. She stopped to catch her breath and she looked down the mountain. The sun was just rising and Tiger stared. Jungle spread out for miles around, flamboyant with flowers, wild orchids and climbing lilies, trumpets of blue-violet flowers and starbursts of brilliant flame red. Tiger sniffed. She smelled jasmine and ylang-ylang and frangipani. She swiveled her ears. She heard newborn streams trickling and tinkling, and below the jungle on the green gold steps of the paddy fields, she could just make out the faint flicker and flash of the fireflies. Tiger smiled. There's no need to ask Rain why they rain. So she cooled her paws in a stream and watched for a while. She watched the water journey from the mountain to the sea, sustaining every living thing on its way, even the tiniest mosquito. Tiger plunged her muzzle into the clear, fresh water and drank. Then she began the long journey down the mountain and through the forests and jungles and paddies to find Gecko. It was dusk by the time Tiger found the lizard again. Well, Gecko demanded,
Did you talk to the fireflies? They're still flashing and flickering on and on and on. Did you tell them to stop?
Gecko, said Tiger. She sat down on her haunches and spoke very slowly. Listen carefully. The fireflies flash to pass on woodpecker's warning. Woodpecker warns everyone not to step on beetle's dung balls. Beetle clears up the excess dung left by buffalo. Buffalo leaves manure on the path to fill up the holes made by the rain. Rain makes holes in the path as they create streams and lakes and puddles, puddles where mosquitoes live.
Oh,
said Gecko. Gecko, what do you eat?
Mosquitoes,
said Gecko. So, said Tiger.
So,
repeated Gecko slowly. Yes.
If rain stopped raining,
yes.
Buffalo could stop filling holes.
Mm-hmm. And
beetle could stop rolling dung.
Yes.
And woodpecker could stop drumming.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fireflies could stop flashing.
Yes, Gecko.
But I would have nothing to eat.
Exactly, said Tiger. Gecko, everything in this world is connected. So go and live in peace with the fireflies. So Gecko stuck himself upside down under the branch of a tree. He closed his eyes and he went to sleep. The fireflies flickered and flashed, and Tiger went back to snoring. Angela, who has her own voice, is going to preach about some new wording our denomination is considering to express what binds Unitarian Universalists together. And one part of it is about interdependence. It says, we honor the interdependent web of all existence. We covenant to cherish the earth and all beings by creating and nurturing relationships of care and respect. With humility and reverence, we acknowledge our place in the great web of life, and we work to repair harm and damaged relationships. Even if we are a gecko. That's not in there, but I had to add it.
It's a hard act to follow, Mia. But we did just start officially spring this week. And so I have a wind meditation for us because that's what spring is in New Mexico. It's wind, partly. So I invite you to just get yourself ready, check in with that body of yours. Did you get tense when you were running through the wind and rain outside on your way in? Was it too cold? See if you can melt. Enjoy being dry now. And breathe in and out. Let your attention go to your breath. You yourself are a movement of air. Air becoming breath, breath becoming air. In, out. Ruach, which means spirit and wind. You can close your eyes if you'd like. And I invite you to imagine that we are outdoors right now and that it is the perfect temperature. Imagine the sanctuary as a natural outdoor amphitheater,
made of rock and wood, surrounded by slender birches, white bark, fresh green leaves hidden in the bud. We're sitting there together, breathing, air becoming breath, breath becoming air. And a gentle breeze begins, the kind that's barely perceptible, that just moves the tallest grasses slightly. It picks up speed and you feel it on your face. Maybe it rustles your hair. It gathers more speed and it's tugging at your clothing, and it begins to loosen other things that have had a grip on you. Like things from this week. To-dos, ought-tos, anxieties, regrets, little stresses, and maybe some big ones. And longer-term things, too. Worries about health, about finances, about relationships, about the state of the world. All these things that have been clinging to you. Picture them as though they were leaves of paper caught on your clothing, notes. And now the wind is growing in strength, and it's insistent, stronger, stronger, and these things you have been carrying and carrying begin to flutter and blow away one by one. They tumble away from you. Watch them go. Breathing. And at last it calms again, and all that is left is you, the pure essential you, unburdened, renewed. What is it like to return to your essence? Can we continue with a minute of stillness? Let's lift up some prayers together. From my pastoral list, I lift up once again the name of Audrey McDonald, who died earlier this year. Her memorial will be on Saturday, April 6th at 1 p.m. here in the sanctuary. And we hold her husband, Neil, and her daughter, Diane, in our thoughts. I lift up all who are impacted by war in the world. So many wars, war in Israel and Gaza, in Ukraine and Russia, in Darfur, and other places. All who are suffering, all who are grieving, all who are experiencing division in their own homes, their own lives because of all the war.
And I know you bring many names in your hearts and minds. I invite you to speak them aloud, any people or places in your prayers, to speak them aloud as the chime rings so that we can hold them with you. All of these we lift up, all these named prayers and all the unnamed ones too. We lift them up to the great powers of healing and renewal and celebration, known by many names, by so many names. And I offer you this prayer. God of the awakening creatures of spring, awaken in us creativity and passion and hunger, that we embrace this season in our lives and the great potential in our world. God of the spring wind that scatters seeds, help us to trust in the process, that wherever we are in our personal lives, that's the place to grow. God of spring's cold nights, remind us to tend our places of spiritual shelter, our spiritual practices, our sacred spaces, the relationships worthy of our authenticity and love, the places where hope grows. God of spring's warm sunlight, kindle a nourishing power within us, a power with, not power over, a power to reveal and co-create. And God of spring flowers, bring our attention again and again to pleasure, to beauty, to peace and peacemaking, that we too may thrive and bloom and make our lives a blessing upon others. Amen. Peace be with you.
Hope to survive in this world today, then every day we've got to pray on, pray on. If we want hope to survive in this world today, then every day we've got to pray on. If we want hope to survive in this world today, to every day we've got to walk on, walk on. If we want hope to survive in this world today, we've got to every day we've got to walk on. If we want hope to survive in this world today, to every day we've got to work on.
Every day we've got to move on. We've got to
I have the wrong set of pages in my hand. If you have been reading UU World Magazine or following our denomination, the Unitarian Universalist Association, on social media, or subscribing to certain newsletters of the UUA, then you know that there is a big decision coming up soon. If you don't, or if you're a new visitor here, you're about to learn a lot about Unitarian Universalism in this sermon and about what sets us apart from other denominations. The big decision has to do with the statement of our principles. And you can find the statement of principles in your gray hymnals. I invite you to do that now. It's on the page that comes before page one, after the preface, but before the first hymn, those confusing unnumbered pages. Let's read them together. So we'll take turns. I'll point to the north, that's y'all over here, or to the south, that's over here, and the choir doesn't have the words in front of them, and we're going to see if they've memorized our UU principles. They already tried to do this in the first service. Let's see if they've gotten any better at it this time. I'll talk more about that in a second. So I'll start, and I'll tell you when to join me. We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote Northside, the inherent worth and dignity of every person, thank you, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, acceptance of one another, and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large, the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all and everyone, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. Some people have notes back here. Oh, it's on the order of service? Get out of here. Okay. I haven't looked at it closely lately. We've also adopted an eighth principle, and I'm going to say more about that in a moment. The statement goes on to list many sources that we draw from. You can see those there: direct experience, prophetic people, world religions, Jewish and Christian teachings, humanism, earth-centered traditions. And then it concludes, grateful for the religious pluralism which enriches and ennobles our faith. We are inspired to deepen our understanding and expand our vision. As free congregations, we enter into this covenant, promising to one another our mutual trust and support. So we are free congregations joined in this covenant. That means there's no top-down hierarchy in Unitarian Universalism. The denomination, the UUA, does not oversee churches, including this church. The denomination is made of the churches, free congregations like this one who have organized themselves to create that denomination as an organized entity. So this statement of principles reflects that. It's a statement about what we have in common that has led us to this covenant together as UUs all across the U.S. It's a deeply meaningful statement. The principles are what people tend to think of when they think of Unitarian Universalism. Unless you looked into it, you might never guess that they are actually an excerpt from our bylaws. That's right. The bylaws of the Unitarian Universalist Association, Article 2, Section C-2.1. And they were adopted at our denomination's annual General Assembly in 1985. Legally, the bylaws of any nonprofit organization have to include a section on principles and purposes. It's part of how the UUA shows regulators that it complies with regulations for organizations that don't pay taxes on income. There's a link in your order of service to the bylaws in their entirety if you're that kind of UU. And if you are, we may have an elected position for you in this congregation. The statement of our principles isn't perfect. People have often critiqued it for not being very poetic and for being hard to memorize. So without looking back at them, keep eye contact. Try to call them all to mind again right now. Go. Can you? You can get some, yeah, okay, It's hard, right? It's hard. They're hard to memorize. They're not poetic because they are bylaws. And nobody writes bylaws expecting other people to try to memorize them, right? But at the same time, they're not exactly worded like a tax document either, right? They're not that dry. They're worded as a covenant, and that touches something in us. Our faith doesn't have one central scripture or even a defined canon or a set of scriptures, and it has no creed. So these principles, which form a concise statement of our values, have taken on unexpected symbolic power for bylaws. It has become something like a profession of faith. Even though every single person doesn't have to believe the same thing, and we have diverse theologies and atheisms among us, our principles are something we can point to and say, here's what unites our congregations with each other. Here's what we are about. So unlike the rest of the bylaws, which are 33 pages long, Article 2, Section C-2.1, the principles, is in our hymnals. The UUA has web pages and pamphlets devoted to them. Kids memorize them or try. They're printed on wallet cards, magnets, and more. When our architect suggested a design for this sanctuary that included the number 7 windows, 7 sets of crossing beams across the ceiling, I said, Doug, that number is not fixed. The statement of principles can change. And we kept the design because it's aesthetically pleasing, not because of the number 7. And, in fact, as I said, and as most of you know, we've already joined hundreds of other congregations in adopting an 8th principle here at First Unitarian, one committing to dismantling racism and other oppressions. The movement to add an 8th principle is only one of several big conversations about updating our principles. Another issue with them is that because they're presented as a list in a certain order, they get referred to in a numbered way. The first principle, the 7th principle. And this has the impact of making them seem ranked. People have asked, shouldn't number 7 come before number 1? Has an overemphasis on the individual gotten in the way of interdependence, relationships, and the collective good? And why is number 1 only about humans, some have asked? What about the inherent worth and dignity of a rainforest? What about a coral reef's right to exist? And why don't the principles mention the word love when it has historically been at the center of our tradition? And according to one study, UUs report loving and love as a high value more often than people of other religions and no religion do. We're the love people, apparently. I like that. So over the years, amendments have been proposed, some only narrowly failing to pass, in fact. And one amendment did pass, changing the second principle from speaking of women and men to the more inclusive, non-gendered word, people. UUs have also raised issues with the way we speak of our sources. The way we have them named there seems to center Christianity more than other world religions, and more than UUs actually do in practice as a collective. Although this tradition has its roots in Christianity, only a minority of UUs identify as Christians today. Most draw more inspiration from other things. Many UUs have Buddhist practices, so people have asked, why not be specific about that? The statement that one of our sources is wisdom from the world's tradition, religions, without further elaboration, has also led to or been associated with some cherry picking, some taking religious stories and ideas out of their original contexts and cultures and applying them for our own purposes in UU settings. And since this language was adopted back in 1985, we've learned better than that. We know now that how we learn and share from other traditions matters. We know that cultural appropriation is harmful. The UUA bylaws mandate that Article 2 go through a revision process every 15 years. So in 2020, the UUA Board of Trustees formed a commission to take that work on, and they charged the commission to consider the centrality of love, the eighth principle, the desire for more poetic language, and other proposed amendments and critiques. So the commission got to work, and there has been a very thorough participatory process involving thousands of UUs, and for those of you who are leaning forward right now and not falling asleep, you can read all about that process in the commission's report on the UUA website. I'll also link to it in the text version of this sermon on our website. For the rest of you, perk back up, because here is what they are proposing, and UUs are going to vote on it in 3 months. If you want to read along, there's a link in your order of service, so you can find it online. And I've asked John to help me read some of this. It begins section C-2.2, Values and Covenant. As Unitarian Universalists, we covenant congregation to congregation and through our association to support and assist one another in our ministries. We draw from our heritages of freedom, reason, hope, and courage, building on the foundation of love. Love is the power that holds us together and is at the center of our shared values. We are accountable to one another for doing the work of living our shared values through the spiritual discipline of love. Inseparable from one another, these shared values are interdependence.
We honor the interdependent web of all existence with reverence for the great web of life, and with humility, we acknowledge our place in it. We covenant to protect Earth and all beings from exploitation. We will create and nurture sustainable relationships of care and respect, mutuality, and justice. We will work to repair harm and damaged relationships.
Pluralism.
We celebrate that we are all sacred beings, diverse in culture, experience, and theology. We covenant to learn from one another in our free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We embrace our differences and commonalities with love, curiosity, and respect.
Justice.
We work to be diverse, multicultural, beloved communities where all thrive. We covenant to dismantle racism and all forms of systemic oppression. We support the use of inclusive democratic processes to make decisions within our congregations, our association, and society at large.
Transformation.
We adapt to the changing world. We covenant to collectively transform and grow spiritually and ethically. Openness to change is fundamental to our Unitarian and Universalist heritages, never complete and never perfect.
Generosity.
We cultivate a spirit of gratitude and hope. We covenant to freely and compassionately share our faith, presence, and resources. Our generosity connects us to one another in relationships of interdependence and mutuality.
And equity.
We declare that every person has a right to flourish with inherent dignity and worthiness. We covenant to use our time, wisdom, attention, and money to build and sustain fully accessible and inclusive communities.
So leaving the page for a moment, we have there six values: interdependence, pluralism, justice, transformation, generosity, and equity, with love at the center. So we've still got the number 7 here, which is interesting. But look at the graphic. It's on the cover of your order of service. With love at the center and the other values surrounding it, it indicates that love is central, is the guiding value, and the others flow from it without being ranked. I like that instead of simply naming principles, it includes action words and promises. Interdependence, we honor, we covenant. Pluralism, we celebrate, we covenant. Justice, we work, we covenant. Transformation, we adapt, we covenant. Generosity, we cultivate, we covenant. Equity, we declare, we covenant. And then instead of listing sources, it names inspirations. That section reads,
direct experiences of transcending mystery and wonder are primary sources of Unitarian Universalist inspiration. These experiences open our hearts, renew our spirits, and transform our lives. We draw upon and are inspired by sacred, secular, and scientific understandings that help us make meaning and live into our values. These sources ground us and sustain us in ordinary, difficult, and joyous times. We respect the histories, contexts, and cultures in which these sources were created and are currently practiced. Grateful for the experiences that move us, aware of the religious ancestries we inherit, enlivened by the diversity which enriches our faith, we are called to ever deepen and expand our wisdom.
Thank you, John. This new proposed statement expands and updates our values and our current principles. It gives them fuller expression. It incorporates the goals of the eighth principle. And in fact, Paula Cole Jones, one of the leaders of the eighth principle movement, is on the Article II Commission that drafted this proposed charge. And it addresses one of the main criticisms of the eighth principle, which is that while the other seven principles are stated as ideas, like worth and dignity and interdependence, the eighth principle is all about action, journeying, working, dismantling racism and other oppressions. In this new wording, all of the values are accompanied by actions and promises. Finally, the section on sources, the part called inspirations, expresses our respect for the contexts and the cultures of diverse sources, not just our attraction to certain ideas. The proposal that we update and transform our principles has generated some controversy, as you might expect, and maybe you're even feeling controversial about it yourself right now. One argument against it is that people are already attached to our current principles. They are baked into so much, not just magnets and pamphlets, but classes, like whole curricula for kids. And, well, our hearts, too. Another argument is, what about tradition? What's wrong with having something that lasts? For crying out loud, you use, right? To that, I would say there's nothing wrong with things that last, but there is a difference between keeping something because it still works and keeping something because we're used to it. And that's the difference between tradition and traditionalism. I like the way the religious scholar Yaroslav Pelikan put it. He said, "Tradition is the living faith of the dead. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living." Yeah? Tradition is the living faith of the dead. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living. Tradition lives in conversation with the past while remembering where we are and when we are, and that it is we who have to decide. Traditionalism supposes that nothing should ever be done for the first time. Personally, I welcome and support this change. I think it reflects the way we UUs have changed in the last 40 years. It reflects the fact that this is a living faith grounded in tradition, but not in traditionalism. That it's connected with the big questions facing humankind at this moment, and it's forward-looking and courageous. At our General Assembly this year, which is all virtual, I plan to vote in favor of this new proposed Article 2. How would you vote? Do you agree with me? Do you have a different opinion? If so, I love that. That's great. It's absolutely fine. Our non-hierarchical, free congregations include many perspectives, and I wouldn't want it to be any other way. It's a beautiful thing, being together in diversity. Whichever way the vote goes in June, here's something I know. That we UUs know what our values are. We know how to live our faith in action. And we know that the covenant that binds us is a holy one.
Around us, light is returning. It rekindles the spirit of life in the skeletons of trees, and it brings forth new shoots from the soil. It wakes us from our winter slumber, and it invites us to see what lies beyond. And just as the earth needs renewal, so does our church, as symbolized in our offering. Our Change for the Future partner this quarter is United Voices for Newcomer Rights. This organization works in partnership with newcomers, empowering them to cultivate educational, economic, cultural, social, and physical and mental health resources. You may mark a pew envelope CFF or place coins in the basket to benefit this organization. We will now gratefully receive the offering.
Thank you, choir, for that gorgeous gift of music. And thank you, everyone, for your generosity. on behalf of our congregation and our Change for the Future partner. And thank you, ushers. May these gifts be for blessing in the world. We've got lots of invitations for you today. Starting with, do you like to cook or do you need to learn to cook and want to? Here's the opportunity for that, and you can make new friends and serve an important cause at the same time. It is an invitation to join the Caring Cooks. They prepare meals that are here at the church in the kitchen, and they're stored in a freezer in the kitchen, and we give them out as part of pastoral care to people in times of illness or recovery or even celebration, new babies, all that kind of thing. They're going to have a table in the social hall where you can ask questions and you can sign up to cook with them on April 18th. They're also accepting donations at the table to buy the groceries to make the food. So there's a couple of different ways you can get involved in supporting that ministry.
Hello, I'm Lara Magnuson. I'm the Director of Congregational Life, and I am here to tell you a little bit more about how you can get involved in these proposed changes to Article 2. So, as Angela mentioned, the vote to approve those changes is during General Assembly, which we call GA for short, because it's easier. And that is June 20th through 23rd, which is a Thursday through a Sunday. And it is completely virtual this year. So we are going to be hosting some watch parties here at the church. We've got space reserved at the church for people to watch and participate together. So you get the best of both worlds. If you want to stay home and be in your jammies or your sweatpants and participate, you can do that. If you'd like to be around people and want to come and socialize and have some good conversations about these decisions, you're encouraged to come do that here. I strongly encourage anyone who is interested to register for GA. It is a great opportunity to attend workshops and see wonderful national speakers about the subjects that you care about. And there are people, you can be in small groups with other people that care about the things you care about and want to have these conversations. I did GA for 4 years now, both virtually and in person, and it is a really powerful experience, and I recommend it to anybody. If you are a church member and you would like to attend GA, and especially if you would like to be one of our voting delegates at GA, please come and talk to me as soon as possible. For every 50 members each UUA church has, they get one delegate. So for our church, that shakes out to about 15 people. We never use all of our delegates. We would very much like to do that this year. Once we have a list of possible delegates, we will hand that over to our board of directors, and then they will take a vote on who are the delegates from this church. So you can sign up to be a delegate, and that is completely free. But if you want to do the other workshops and things, there are some fees involved. There are scholarships available through the UUA. There are also discounts for young adults and youth to participate. And we also have some limited funds that we can use from our staff to help pay for some people if money is a problem and you can't get funds another way to participate. So please come see me at the connections table after the service in the foyer if you're just even thinking that you might be interested, so I can tell you more about it and how to register. Thank you.
Thanks, Lara. We invite you to invite a friend. Is there someone you've been wanting to invite to our church? Any time is a good time to welcome folks to this community of radical love and acceptance, but next week's message about a hope you can count on is especially uplifting and welcoming. And there will be extra fun with an Easter egg hunt. So who can pass that up, right? We'd love to welcome you and your visitors, so bring a friend.
Emilia, do you want to invite folks to a cool event next Saturday? We have a lot going on right now.
All right, so a week from today is Trans Day of Visibility, and so on the day before, on Saturday afternoon, we'll be right here in the sanctuary at 3 to 5 with an open mic. So the microphone will be for people who are not cis, for people who are non-binary or trans, but everyone is welcome. Please do come and be part of our community and engage with the Trans Day of Visibility event at 3 on Saturday.
I'm going to be there. That's going to be a really cool event.
Thanks. Today's sermon in particular emphasized that Unitarian Universalism is always a changing faith, and sometimes change means controversy. Learn about some historical controversies in a new online course, Turning Points in UU History, offered by our Adult Religious Education Council, beginning April 3rd. For registration and more information, come to the Connections table out in the lobby after the service.
We've got two more invitations to share with you, and then we're going to roll out of here pretty soon. One is that our wonderful food pantry continues to provide lots of groceries each week to people who are facing food insecurity. You can see in your order of service the numbers from the last quarter, just how many people were served. If you want to help out with that, one way to do it is to become what we call a pantry partner, which means you'll get emails, you'll receive alerts when we're low on certain items so that you can shop for them and bring them by the church. There's information at the Connections table out in the foyer about how to sign up as a pantry partner. And there's one other table I want to tell you about during our coffee hour, which will happen just down the hall there in the social hall, and that's a table with our Healthy Community Committee at it. They are there to let people know what they do for the congregation and to provide resources for dealing with conflict within the church, which is what they do, and to be a listening ear if folks want to voice concerns. So they're there as listeners. They help find mediators when there's conflict within parties in the church that's being hard to solve. That's what they are. That's their mission. All right, so as you go out of this place, maybe you'd like to have a discussion question, maybe for the chat table that'll be in the social hall. So here it is. What do you think? How would you vote? Discuss, right? And I hope you have some good conversations around that. All right, I invite everybody to rise in body or spirit once more. Let's greet each other with a gesture of peace. We like to put one hand on our hearts and extend another one out toward each other. Peace to all.
I invite you to grab that gray hymnal, open to number 298, Wake Now My Senses. This has been kind of our hymn of the month. Today we're going to sing verse 2, verse 4, and verse 5. So start with Wake Now My Reason. Wake now my reason.
Wake now my reason. Reach out to the new. Join with each pilgrim who quests for the true. Honor the beauty and wisdom of time. Suffer thy limit and grace.
Verse 4. Wake now my conscience.
Wake now my conscience with justice thy guide. Join with all people whose rights are denied. Take not for granted a privileged place, but of embraces of all.
Wake now my vision of ministry.
Peace, friends, and may love bless you and keep you until we're gathered again. Blessed be.